It was Ascension Day on Thursday. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you knew that. It's kind of been downplayed these days. We used to have a public holiday on Ascension Day. You remember those days? If you're over 50, I don't know how old you've got to be to remember having a holiday on Ascension Day. But we used to have a holiday on Ascension Day, and Thursday was Ascension Day. And we're going to spend some time today looking at reason to celebrate Ascension Day. And so we're going to read about the event, and then we're going to just look at some of the reasons to celebrate because of the Ascension. I'm just going to read Acts chapter 1 in my former book, Theophilus. Now, Luke was a historian, and as a historian, he wrote two books. He wrote Luke's Gospel, where we see that he wrote there about all Jesus began to do, but as a historian, he's now picking up to seeing what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead and taken to heaven. So in my former book, the book of Acts, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus rose from the dead, and he gave people convincing proofs that he was. And Paul says that at one time more than 500 people saw him alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised and that you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And next Sunday, it's Pentecost Sunday, and we will look at some of the work of the Holy Spirit next Sunday. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And yet, of course, we do everything to try and find out when he's coming again, don't we? I mean, there's books and books written, he's coming now. We unpack the 49 weeks and this sort of thing, and we all... Everybody thinks they've got a kind of a handle on when he's coming again. But Jesus said clearly, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But what is important is not about that. What is important is now, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into the heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, as we look at the subject, just pray that you would help us understand. Thank you that your Holy Spirit, who you have given to the church, who we have living in us, the one who inspired what we are reading, is the one who helps us to understand it. So Lord, let us see what you are saying to us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ascension Day, which, as I said, we remembered on Thursday. Historically, the Ascension took place 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. Now, I'm not going to go into why it was 40 days, but it was in keeping with the festivals of the Jewish nation. And the question is, why would we want to remember, let alone celebrate, Jesus' Ascension? Well, that's what I want to look at this morning. The Ascension of Jesus was, in fact, critical to God's ongoing work of salvation. Easter focuses on the event central to our salvation, the crucifixion. When Jesus died as our substitute, we should have died because we were the ones who had rebelled against God's standards, but Jesus died as a substitute in our place. That is the crucifixion. But the even more remarkable event at Easter took place 3 days after the crucifixion. Before Jesus died, he had promised that he would come back to life again. Of course, no one took Jesus seriously. After all, no one dies and comes back to life again. But sure enough, on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. Today, there is an empty tomb. We have the resurrection. Now, as crucial as the crucifixion and the resurrection were, they are not all that Jesus had to do. More was to happen. But they had to wait 40 days for the more to start happening. And the historian Luke tells us that during those 40 days, Jesus met with his disciples and he gave them instructions through the Holy Spirit. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He met with them. He confirmed that he had risen from the dead. He got them ready to continue the work that he had already started while he was on earth. See, while Jesus was on earth, he began his work in his physical body. He worked in his physical body. Where he was in his physical body, he was working. After his ascension, Jesus planned to continue his work in the world, but now he'd be working through his body, but the body called the church. Do you see that? He was continue working not in his physical body, but now through his body, the church. By his crucifixion and by his resurrection, Jesus paid the penalty so that we could be redeemed, so that we could become children of God, so that we could become part of his body, the church. He needed to die, pay for our rebellion, so that we could become part of his body, the church. And the work that Jesus had in mind embraced the whole world. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus' vision was worldwide. He wanted everybody to know how much God loved the world. He wanted everybody to have an opportunity to enjoy intimacy with the Father. And he would accomplish that no longer in his physical body, but through his body, the church. And the church would need to be energized for that. His church would need nothing less than the very Spirit of God to energize it, to accomplish that overwhelming task. And so the night before Jesus was crucified, chatting to them over the meal that we have just celebrated there, this is what he said to them. He said, "It's actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor," talking about the Holy Spirit, "the counselor won't come. If I do go away, he will come because I will send him. I will go away and I will send him." Jesus was promising to send one who would energize them for this enormous task of world evangelism. He was promising them the counselor, the Holy Spirit. But to do this, the ascension first had to happen. So why do we celebrate the ascension? Well, how about this? It brought an end to the earthly phase of Jesus' work, when Jesus' work was kind of limited to where his physical presence was, and it inaugurated the next phase of Jesus' work. Jesus was never going to stop working. He was simply planning to work in a different way. No longer would Jesus be working within the limits of his physical body. He was going to continue working in the world through his body, the church. But he needed his church to have power to do that work. He needed the church to have the same power that he had when he was here doing his work. And so the night before he was crucified, Jesus promised that, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." That word, another, it means another of the same kind. There are two Greek words for another. One means another, a different kind. The other one means another of the same kind. This is another of the same kind. "I will give you another counselor of exactly the same kind. I will ask the Father to send a counselor just like me." And of this counselor he would send, this is what Jesus says, "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Referring to the one that he was going to send, Jesus says, "You know him. You already have the counselor, the Holy Spirit, I will send." How do you know him? Well, he lives with you. Jesus was the counselor living with them. That's why they knew him. But the difference is, while you know him now, he will be in you. The Holy Spirit, the other counselor, would come and take up residence in them and would energize them. Jesus himself, by the Holy Spirit, living in them. And that's what the ascension is all about. Jesus returning to the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, another counselor, one just like himself. We will look at the coming of the Holy Spirit when we look at Pentecost next week. But because the Holy Spirit lives in each of us, it's the same as having Jesus live in each one of us. Therefore, it's no longer necessary for Jesus to be physically present in his body. When we embrace Jesus as Savior, the very Spirit of Jesus takes up residence in us and energizes us to do the work that Jesus started when he was physically here on earth. And what is that work? We've seen, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Worldwide evangelism. Oh yes, the ascension is worth celebrating. It means we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, to do Jesus' work. But the wonder of the ascension doesn't stop there. Let me ask you, what do you think Jesus is doing right now? I mean right now. Are you ready for this? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Can you believe that? After the ascension, when Jesus had returned to the Father, Jesus made it his business to pray for us. And in case we missed that, we have this again. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Is that not an amazing, almost unbelievable thing? What is Jesus doing right now? Well, you read it. Jesus is praying for us. Right now, Jesus is praying for you in whatever situation you find yourself. Jesus is praying for the Durban North Community Church, praying to help us navigate the challenges that we are facing. Some of us, most of us, know what it's like when a person comes up to us and says, I'm praying for you. Isn't that an amazing, encouraging experience? I'm praying for you. Even though we may not have been aware of it, someone was praying for you. We know what it's like when we're facing a challenge and someone tells you, I'm praying for you. I'm sure that we have all had that experience at some point in time. So try and get your minds around this. Right now, Jesus is praying for you. Right now, your name is on Jesus' lips. Right now, whatever you feel, face, struggle, it's on Jesus' heart right now, always. How do we know? We read Jesus is interceding for us. We read he always lives to intercede for us. Jesus is not parking off in heaven, you know, making up for the torrid time that we gave him on earth while he was away from his Father's presence. None of these things. Jesus is praying for you. Are you facing temptation? Jesus is praying for you. Are you facing an unpleasant task? Jesus is praying for you. Have you been given some bad news about your health? Jesus is praying for you. Are you writing an exam? Jesus is praying for you. Are you feeling sad or alone? Jesus is praying for you. Take a moment, any time during the day, to think about the truth. Right now, Jesus is praying for you. But for that to happen, for that to be able to happen, the ascension first had to take place. The ascension is worth celebrating. There's another reason for us to celebrate the ascension. But first, I need to paint a picture for you. Now, Peter was one of those who spent 3 years with Jesus. Peter was one of those who was warned by Jesus that the devil's going to try and distract you. And Peter was the one who said, it will never happen, Jesus. I'll die for you. And this Peter tells us about the devil. And this Peter warns us that the devil is active. He's experienced it. He's warning us that the devil is looking for a way to trip us up. That the devil is trying to get us to do stuff that hurts God. Stuff that will make us feel really, really bad because we know it's wrong and because it spoils our enjoyment of God. The word is sin. The devil is trying to get us to sin. That's his mission in life. And Peter, who has personally experienced this, Peter warns us just how tricky the devil is. And so Peter tells us, he says, sometimes the devil will come around acting like an angel of light. In other words, he's going to trick us into believing that what we are doing is okay, maybe even good. The temptation is that subtle. But Peter also warns us that sometimes the devil goes around like a roaring lion, looking to intimidate us into doing the wrong things. We really need to be alert. But here's the truth, and this is the point that I want to make. Sometimes the devil succeeds. Sometimes we do sin. So what do we do when we sin? John, another one of those who lived for 3 years with Jesus, who was also there watching Jesus being crucified, who then was there having breakfast with Jesus on the beach. After all, Jesus came back from the dead. And John saw it all. And John writes to the church and he tells us what to do when we sin. He tells us if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin. That's his desire, that we don't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, I don't have to tell you, an advocate is one who argues the client's case before the judge. It's what advocates do. Now, we have faced temptation. Sadly, we have sinned. And John, who knew Jesus really well, tells us what to do when we sin. He says, confess it. In other words, agree with Jesus that what you have done was wrong. Agree with him that you have sinned, because that's what to confess means. It means to say the same as. It means to agree. Agree with him. Yes, Lord, I have sinned. And what does John assure us? He says, if we confess our sin, then Jesus, advocate-like, pleads our case before God. And guess what? Jesus has a watertight case. You see, Jesus, our advocate, is also the one who died to pay the penalty for the sin of which the devil is accusing us. Did you get that? Jesus, who is our advocate, is also the one who died to pay for the sin of which we are being accused by the devil. Yes, says Jesus, she did sin. Yes, he did sin. But I have paid for it. Therefore, Father, you have no option but to declare them not guilty. The ascension. Jesus returned to the Father, and Jesus is our advocate with the Father right now. Therefore, the ascension is worth celebrating. There are other reasons, but I just want to look at one more reason to celebrate this, the ascension. Jesus is having this discussion with his disciples, telling them, I'm going to leave you, telling them, I'm going to go back to the Father. And they are feeling pretty bleak. And so Jesus says to them, don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust also me. There are many rooms in the Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. How cool is that? Jesus is making a place for us in paradise. He's preparing it for us. He's making sure paradise is ready for us. Doesn't that make you excited? It should. I've often spoken about John Eldridge, who makes the comment, if you can't imagine it, you won't desire it. If you can't imagine it, you won't desire it. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. What kind of place has he gone to prepare? If you can't imagine it, you won't desire it. But we can imagine it. We can imagine because God has given us clues as to what it's going to be right like. The place that he's preparing for us is a place, we are told, where spears and shields and swords are going to be taken down and melted and beaten into plowshares. In other words, weapons of destruction are going to be changed into weapons of production. The place Jesus is preparing for us is a place where the lion and the lamb will lie down together. The place Jesus is preparing for us is a place where the child can play with the snake. It's a place where there's no more sickness, where there's no more sin, where there's no more death. It's a place where we can enjoy creation unspoiled by pollution, unspoiled by greed, unspoiled by carelessness. It's a place where we can enjoy one another, no envy, no jealousy, no anger, no hatred. It's a place where we can enjoy intimacy with God because there's no sin to separate us anymore. I am going and I'm going to prepare a place for you, says Jesus. The Bible gives us these clear clues. We can anticipate what he has gone to prepare for us. But for Jesus to do this, the ascension first had to happen. The ascension is worth celebrating. Can you see why we celebrate the ascension? Jesus ascended so that he could send his Spirit to us. Jesus ascended so that he could pray for us. Jesus ascended so that he could advocate for us. Jesus ascended so he could prepare a place for us. And the event looked like this. Jesus taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky he was going. And suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the way you have seen him go into heaven. I can imagine those disciples. Jesus was gone again. I mean, they'd lost him when they saw him died and putting in a tomb. But now he has gone again. And there they stood, longing for his return, not wanting that moment to end. And suddenly there are two angels next to them, and they rebuke them and say, don't just stand looking into an empty sky. Why not? Well, there's work to be done. You see, in the previous verse, Jesus had commissioned them to go out into the whole world and give everybody the opportunity to benefit to the same extent that they had benefit. You've got work to do, worldwide work. So the rebuke, don't stand looking into the sky when there is work to be done. And the promise, yes, the ascension was necessary, but it isn't permanent. This very Jesus who was taken from among you to heaven will as certainly and mysteriously come as he left. Today, we living in the time between the ascension and the promised second coming of Jesus. And because of the ascension, we have all we need to live in a hostile environment as we fulfill the commission Jesus gave to us all. The ascension, it gives much reason to celebrate. Shall we pray together? Father, much has been said this morning, and I guess not all of it touched all of us in the same way. But Lord, if we are your children, serious about you and living for you, there must have been something there which we particularly want to take away and rejoice about because of the ascension. The fact that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The fact that when we sin, we have an advocate. The fact that you have gone to prepare a place for us. That we can anticipate that. Surely, Lord, there must be something there each one of us can get excited about. And maybe the greatest one is this, that right now you are praying for us. Lord, encourage us with your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.